Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say before I start, it's very humbling and to be up here to share what I've been studying lately. Before we start, let's just pray. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for your many blessings that you have given us. God, you have blessed us with, this life on this earth, wisdom, everlasting life if we obey, the material things, the ability to travel, the money we have, the cars we have, it all comes from you. Our daily bread, the food that we eat, the clothes on our back. I pray, Lord, that this lesson can be encouraging to the people in this audience and the people that are watching online. And I pray that not only myself, but we all can just apply it to our daily lives. God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever prayed to God and thought, did God hear that prayer? Or how many prayers did God receive today? I wonder where my prayer is on his list or pecking order. Or maybe thought, maybe my prayer, is my prayer significant enough for God to even respond, because he may have more important prayers. I know I wrestle with these thoughts on a constant basis. You know, there are times when I've prayed and, I've said, is this really worth praying to God for? Or is this, like, significant enough? Or when is he going to answer this prayer? Or, how many prayers did he receive today? Should I even be praying this? Now, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that in this particular passage, James is specifically talking about wisdom. And when you ask God, you should not doubt. This includes wisdom to handle trials, circumstances, relationships, money, you name it. But there are times when we pray for things that are not promised. And that could be a spouse or money or a car or the ability to travel or health. And that's when, we could become discouraged and start to doubt God's power and faithfulness and will for our lives. Oftentimes, doubt could stem from distrusting God's power and his will. And I'm convinced, church, that God wants us to place our faith in him and believe that he has our best interest at heart. And sometimes, I'm guilty of this. I have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C. I know what I'm going to do. I know exactly how I'm going to do it, and I'm going to get it done. And God's like, nope, this is not the way to do it. If you turn your Bibles to Psalms 147, verses 5, while I work the slides, it says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. And Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. I particularly love Jeremiah 29, verse 11, because it just flat out says God has a plan. God knows what he wants to do. Now, it's up to us to accept it, and that's hard. So, what is doubt? What does it mean to doubt somebody? What does it mean to have uncertainty? Well, I looked it up, and it says doubt is defined as a feeling of uncertainty or a lack of conviction. So, for a minute, I want to explain some biblical examples of people who doubted. If you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18, verses 10 through 12, it says, so Sarah laughed to herself, as she thought, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, I will now have this pleasure. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, I will really have a child now that I am old? And God flat out promised Abraham, you will have a son. And Sarah did not believe. And granted, to Sarah's credit, they waited 100 years for this. So it's like, all right, Lord, I'm past the age of childbearing. When is this going to happen? And I say the same thing all the time. Another example is Thomas. If you turn your Bibles to John chapter 20, verses 24 through 28, And this is when Jesus rose from the dead. He said, now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where his nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said, Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. And I underlined that. Stop doubting and believe. Then Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. So why do we have doubts? Why do we have that lack of conviction? I've talked to a few people in my life, and they say doubt stems from fear, or the fear of unknown, or the fear that, you know, you may want something to happen, but it might not happen. So that lack of conviction of praying to God for things that are not promised, and you really want it to happen, but it's like, I don't know, God, is this your will? I really want it to happen. And I'm guilty of that. I pray to God all the time for things, and I'm like, you know, God, why is this not happening for me? Especially when my Christian friends and non-Christian friends are getting the same things I prayed for. And it's like, have you forsaken me, God? What's going on? Am I praying the right things? And, you know, a little confession. And I'll read James 4, verses 3 right quick. And it says, when you ask, you receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend on what you get on your pleasures. And I'm guilty of that. And there are times when I pray for things, and it's really to glorify myself, if we're just being honest. You know, there are times when I pray, and I want to lord over somebody. I want to say, I got this, and you don't. I want to brag. I don't want to give God his proper credit. And I've had to repent and talk to people about that, and just have a brother restore me. Now, am I saying that God will answer every prayer we pray for? I wish. I wish God was like Amazon, or I wish God had a Prime feature where we can pray what we want, he waves his magic wand, and we get it in an hour later. I wish. But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. First of all, where would faith and trust be at if God worked like that? Hebrews 11:1 says, now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. And how would perseverance and maturity work? James 1, verses 3 through 4 says, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking in anything. So the question is it okay to question God? Is it okay to ask those why questions, those how questions? You know, why me? Why isn't this happening? You know, Job did it. You know, I talked to Mr. Jerry yesterday, and he told me, you know, half the book of Job is complaining. And, you know, I think the problem comes, brothers and sisters, is when we start to let those complaints turn into doubts and to just stop believing in God and letting that doubt turn into unbelief, which leads to my next point. You know, doubt starts to affect the heart, which could affect the mind, which could lead to unbelief. It can lead to unbelief, which has had led me bitterness, anger, fits of rage, you name it. You name the sin. Unbelief can potentially lead somebody to leave their faith. And I've been guilty of that. There's been times when I've been so discouraged, especially over the last couple of years, and I'm praying for certain things to happen, and it's not happening, and I purified my motives, and it's still not happening. And I'm like, where are you at, God? And it's hard. It's hard. I want to encourage you with this scripture, though, and it's not up there. I missed that part. But if you turn your Bibles to Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 15, and it says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." So regardless of our circumstances, we just can't have an unbelieving and distrusting heart. "But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." We need to utilize the church to encourage us. You know, find that brother and sister that, hey, I'm struggling. I'm flat out struggling. And find somebody that you could be vulnerable with. "We have to come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As Hadid just said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion." I also want to read Psalms 116, verses 5. And again, that's not on the slides. I missed that. Psalms 116, verses 5. "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion." You know, I talked to a few members and a few older members in the past, and they've told me that God hears the prayers. And, you know, it's just not his timing right. And as difficult as that has been for me to accept, I've been working on that every day, just accepting that it might not be his time for certain things to happen. But I got to have faith that it might happen. It could happen. He can make it happen. So finally, I want to leave you guys with some strategies to overcome doubt. Well, the most fundamental thing we can do is read scripture. You know, James 4 verses 8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." And that's the most basic fundamental thing. A lot of times when I'm doubting and I'm going through my phase and I'm in my mood and I'm angry at the world, I'm lashing out, sometimes I just haven't read my Bible in a couple days. I haven't prayed. I've just been like, you know, waking up, showering, exercising, doing everything I need to do, work and go to sleep, get on social media, and you know, those doubts and those anxieties and those fears start to creep in. You know, find that one scripture you can go to and you can just read it off the top of your tongue. So, for example, mine is John 14, verses 1. And it says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you also believe in me." Or Psalms 139, and particularly the parts where it talks about being fearfully and wonderfully made and asking God to search our hearts. Sing songs of praise. I've seen a lot of brothers and sisters will just bust out in a random song. I mean, Chris Langley at Glen Allen is famous for that. Like, I'm helping him with a project, and he'll just start singing like four or five songs. Just like, what are you doing over there? You know, he's just singing. Pray. And this is one thing I've tried to, you know, emphasize in my life. Spend a little bit more time in prayer. And I know that's cliche. We all say that, but there are times when I just wake up and I just start the day and I forget to pray. But, you know, emphasize the blessings that you already have and ask God to remove any present doubt or anxieties on you. Pray for the things that are promised, such as wisdom and everlasting life. Spend time alone, and I said this earlier, spend time alone with a brother or sister and just reflecting. That has helped me. I've connected with a lot of people, and sometimes we just put away the cell phones and we just talk about the Bible. Talk about the Bible. We just talk about what God has done for our lives. And finally, remove any triggers that might be causing your doubt. So for me, that was social media. I've had to delete and deactivate my Snapchat. Now, I still love my Instagram, you know, and I use TikTok occasionally, but You know, I'm working on that. Because sometimes my doubt comes from seeing people on social media with the things I got and comparing my life to them. And I do a terrible job of comparing and just saying, if I had this, if I only had this, if I had this much money, I would be this. And, you know, asking God to bless me with those things that the people have. But this could be family members. It could be coworkers. It could be anybody that could be causing this doubt. So lastly, you know, what are some doubts and fears or anxieties you have in your life? And how can we as a church family pray for you? And what are some other sins in your life that could potentially need repenting on? So let's stand and send the invitation.